are listening to FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church, Kelowna.
Hello from First Baptist Church in Kelowna. This is Pastor Kevin Green. I'm your host, and I'd like to welcome you to our Perspectives podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. Our guest today is Sarah Marriott. Sarah is an area director with an organization called Young Life. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Hey, Sarah, what is Young Life? Can you tell us a bit about it and what are they actually trying to do?
So Young Life is an organization that loves teenagers in their world, goes to them wherever they are, and we build relationships and then we introduce them to Jesus.
So what do you do with Young Life?
Well, I'm the area director for the Central Okanagan, which means that it's my responsibility to cultivate Young Life here and make it grow. So I recruit volunteers and train them. I recruit staff and train them. I help develop teams of awesome adults who are vetted and trained to be amazing mentors for teens. And then I help them develop clubs that they get off the ground and meet weekly and do all the things that Young Life does.
So before all this craziness happened with this pandemic, what was your job like and what did you love about it?
Oh man, I got to spend a lot of time with young adults who are leaders. I got to hang out with them. We would do Bible studies and training. I got to visit all the different clubs that we have here. So we have 6 different clubs in Kelowna, 8 ranging in age from grade 6 to 8, from 9 to 12. We also have a club called Capernaum for kids with diverse abilities. And I would get to visit all those clubs throughout the different weeks and see the kids that I adore. And it was great.
Wow. And, you know, one of the things that you're probably noticing is that a lot of your job has changed with this pandemic and the restrictions on gathering. And I'm just wondering how that has affected how you guys do your ministry, how you connect with people. How has it affected you?
Well, it's obviously changed everything. We can't gather. We can't physically go where kids are. And that's what we're known for. We go volunteer for sports teams and we go hang out at skate parks and in the mall. And we can't go to those places. And if we did, there's no kids there anyway. But what we are doing has been so amazing and so encouraging. One of the things we love to do in Young Life is we love to solve problems. We love to be creative. We don't want kids just to come to what we're doing. We want to figure out how to reach them where they're at, what they're struggling with. And so as soon as we found out we weren't going to be able to gather, I was so impressed with our volunteers. Over the course of 2 days, many hours of brainstorming and work, they came up with so many awesome opportunities to spend time with teens online. So right now, as we speak, there's a Zoom club going on a computer down the hallway from me with my own teenage daughters. So they're gathering over Zoom. We have different things throughout the week, like a homework club where kids get on Zoom and they get help from different leaders to do their homework. We just have fun and games. There's watch parties for movies. There's Jackbox games over Zoom. And then there's leaders that are just hanging out with kids on Club Penguin, just, you know, checking in with them. How you doing? So we've even had a couple of leaders who've shown up at kids' houses and just waved at the end of the driveway and just said, "Hey, how are you?" Just to make sure that that kid is doing well in this time.
So do you think this has been more of a shift for the kids or for the leaders?
Well, to be honest with you, I think social isolation was already a problem for the teenagers in our culture before this happened. I think the changes in social media and just the heightened social anxiety that happens with teens has already created a situation where there are a lot of teens that we don't see out in those other places anymore. What I think's really happened, it's forced us as youth leaders to get creative about how to reach those kids, plus the ones whose lives has changed by this.
So one of the things that I really impressed with what you said was how Young Life goes to where the kids are. And I'm just wondering if you're discovering that the kids already were kind of online like this.
Yes. So one of my words of caution has actually been, we don't go everywhere kids are.
Right.
You know, just because kids are somewhere doesn't mean it's a good place for us to be. So as we've gotten creative and we've tried to come up with solutions to the problems that we see in front of us, I keep telling everyone, take a deep breath, you know, put your head above the water and make sure that the solution you have for this problem isn't causing another problem. So for instance, in real life, I'm not going to go to a bush party because kids are at a bush party, and I'm not going to invite other kids to come with me to the bush party.
Right.
I don't go everywhere kids are. And if I do go to a bush party, it's because I'm picking up a kid and taking them away from it. Well, the internet has a lot of bush parties and back alleys that we don't need to find ourselves. So I keep telling my leaders, while we get creative, let's make sure that we have good social media hygiene. Let's make sure we're not drawing kids to places that's going to cause more dependence and more isolation later.
So that being said, what is Zoom club or Zoom gathering look like, and how has that been for the kids?
Oh man. Well, it looks like a lot of different things. And to be honest with you, it is evolving. We tried to do club like we normally do, just on Zoom. So we usually have some songs, radio songs like Summer of 69, or maybe some of Taylor Swift's older stuff, not the new stuff, it's dark. You know, we'd sing some songs, we'd play a game, we'd have a club talk, which is a gospel presentation. And then we would talk about it on our way to Dairy Queen. We tried to duplicate that on Zoom. And quite frankly, you can't hold people's attention on Zoom the same way that you can in person. So it wasn't working very well. So now it looks like a lot of games and hanging out. Leaders have been doing amazing jobs recording ridiculous skits. So they play those for the kids. And then we'll have a shorter than usual club talk. And then as soon as possible, we actually break into smaller groups, because we find if the kids can be engaged in conversation, they're actually processing the gospel better, but also they're processing the emotions that they're experiencing right now better.
So I think all of us are kind of reacting to this isolation or physical distancing, social distancing, whatever you want to call it, in different ways. It's affecting different groups of people differently. How do you think it's affecting our teens?
Well, I think it's very varied, as it is for everybody. I think those teens who are already really experiencing a lot of isolation, who are already very dependent on their social media, their iPhones, I think not a ton has changed, except that now they're trapped inside with their families, with their parents, which creates, I think we can both honestly say, its own tension, no matter how awesome your family is, just being with the same people every day, right? Some of the cracks in your relationship start to show. I think for some teenagers who are really active, who are the kids who are on the soccer team and the debate team and in the drama club, they are really struggling. They miss their friends. And it does not matter how many touch points you have throughout the day through technology. It is not the same emotionally, physiologically, spiritually, to not be able to be close to somebody, to give someone a hug, to put your arm around a friend. And I think teens who are really active that way are really having a hard time. So everyone's in varying degrees of distress.
I think one of the surprises for me has been how technology has become my friend a bit, even though I was kind of suspicious of this friend. I've warmed up to it a bit, but I also think that I'm looking forward to dropping a lot of this. And I wonder, do you think the teens are going to be drawn to more personal relationships after this?
I really hope that that's the case. That's something I've definitely been praying about. My heart is that as we've learned how to use social media better in this time, we've had the opportunity to force creativity that we wouldn't have spent time on. What I'm hoping is those kids that were already dependent, were already with their phones in their faces all the time, that maybe this is the chance we have to draw them out a little bit. That's been my prayer. But that's also the reason I'm so careful about what kind of mediums we're using, because I just don't want to create a more active dependency. Some of it is chemical. I'd like to be nostalgic about the idea that we're all craving connection. But the truth is that when you have little videos that are very fast, or if you've got kids who are struggling with pornography and they're alone with their computers a lot more, what we're doing is we're creating more and more dopamine dependency on those things. And all the nostalgia in the world isn't going to make a kid go, well, now I want to be out in the world because I can. So again, that's why I'm so cautious about how can we drop kids away from that stuff now so that we're building a bridge to that real life interaction later?
So what kind of mental health issues have you had to be aware of for teens in particular, and maybe want to draw our attention to as listeners or parents at this time?
Well, I think a big one is anxiety and depression. And I think that's a reality for all of us. When our bodies slow down, when maybe we're eating more comfort foods that are not actually good for us, just the physiology of that is that it's not good for our brains. It's not healthy for our biochemistry. So I'm concerned about that depression settling in. So I talk a lot about, it's really important, guys, that you get out for that walk. It's really important that you have at least one face-to-face interaction a day. It's really important that you eat something healthy like an apple. Just trying to stave off some of those bad habits that can really harm us in the long run. You know, if you get sick and you spend a day in bed and watch Netflix, that's fine. But if you never end up getting out of bed, like slowly, it actually gets worse, right? Yeah. And then the other big concern I have is we have a lot of adult concerns right now about finances, about what the world's going to look like. And our kids, whether or not they're overhearing it, they're feeling it. And so those cortisol levels are up for all of us. And cortisol has a lot of long-term negative effects if we don't deal with stress well. So I think the opportunity to check in once a day, just say, hey, how are you doing? And be real and ask real questions. Like, what are you concerned about right now? What part of this is really hard for you? Yeah. And then at the same time, the check-in to say, what are you grateful for? What could we celebrate today? And if there's nothing, create a celebration. Because again, that opportunity to laugh is so good for our brains. The opportunity to find gratitude has a physiological effect on us.
So what kind of signs do you think parents should be looking for in their teens that they're either healthy or not? Like, what are some markers that you've seen as a youth worker professional?
Definitely, if kids start to withdraw more, get more concerned. Again, that recommendation of checking in is so important. If they're sleeping later and later, one of the biggest pieces of advice that is coming out is build a routine, have a schedule, because getting up in the morning is really important. So if kids are sleeping in later and later and having a harder and harder time getting out of bed, you might want to start being a little bit concerned about them. If they're withdrawn so much that they're not, you know, they're giving you the monosyllable answers to questions, I think it's really important to just be aware that that's a concern. But I also think we don't want to panic. The reality is this is hard on all of us. And if you ask anybody, there have been more tears than usual for all of us, I think. So just because your kid is behaving abnormally doesn't mean that they have a major mental health issue. But I think is a time we do need to be a lot more inquisitive about our feelings and about how we're dealing with stress.
Yeah, that extra grace is really important right now. And it makes me want to ask you this. It's just like, what sort of things do you think parents maybe need not worry about that they might have worried about a bit before? Like an adjustment, you know, something that you might let go that you wouldn't have let go before. Do you have any observations around that?
Grades. Really and truly. We are dealing with a school system that has never done this before, and teachers are doing the best they can. But you got to trust that your kids are also doing the best they can. This is really hard. And one of the things that happens with stress is that our higher brain function actually goes down. So our capacity to think critically and solve problems is diminished when we're feeling stressed out. So we're actually kind of dumber. I mean, that's a blunt way to put it, but we're all a little bit dumber while we're sitting here in this stressful situation. So having really high achievement expectations for our teenagers right now is unreasonable. And so we need to have a lot of grace. That doesn't mean, you know, we say, forget the homework. You don't have to do it anymore. But just lower your expectations. Don't expect perfection.
So, Sarah, have there been any surprises at this time that you will remember that have just surprised you out of the blue that have been good?
I think the biggest surprise for me, and I shouldn't be surprised, I'm so lucky I have such an incredible team, but I think for me, I have a group of young adults, many of whom have lost their jobs or whose university or college classes have been canceled. who have poured their hearts into solving these problems and have become such a beautiful team. And I just have been delighted by the fact that, you know, rather than wallow in their own misery or feel sorry for themselves, they have just turned their energy on, all right, well, I guess we have only one job to do right now. And they have done it so well and with so much faithfulness. So that has been a delight to me. And I think there's a lot of that in the world. You know, I love Mr. Rogers said his mom used to tell him to look for the helpers. There's so many helpers right now. There is so much to celebrate. And it has been delightful to spend a little time every day just looking that up, seeing what's good in the world right now.
Is there something that you've learned from this that you think you will maybe continue to do after all these restrictions have been lifted?
Can I give you a personal answer instead of a ministry answer?
Yeah, for sure.
So I hit the ground running real fast as soon as this happened. We had to cancel a trip with our teams and everyone was very disappointed. So our volunteers gathered and solved it quick. And we had plans the first week of spring break. And so we've just been working so hard. And it took a few weeks before I realized I really needed to take a break or I was gonna break down. I wasn't gonna be able to run this marathon well. So I told my family we were gonna shut off all media, all technology for the entire day on Saturday, to the point that I even told them they had to leave their phones in their bedrooms. Like, just, we aren't even going to answer a cell phone. We're not going to look up a fact. One of my daughters was baking. Can I look up a recipe? No, go look at the paper recipe books and find a recipe. And after a few weeks, I got to be honest, it's the most rich Sabbath I've ever had in my life. Actually, not allowing the rest of the world in, not being connected to everything else, just completely closing that door so that it's just us and it's just being present in the right now. And I don't think I'm going to let that go when this is done. I've grown quite fond of it. I might have to battle my children, but I've grown quite fond of the fact that people get bored enough to, you know, hem that pair of pants that has been sitting on that couch forever and, you know, learn how to do something new, play the piano, dust it off. You know, it's been really, really good.
Right, right. And it's interesting because despite some people being laid off and having lots of time, other people are working crazy hours, like healthcare workers or other people. And I think on both ends, we're discovering Sabbath, the importance of Sabbath. So I feel like that's an important thing that we're learning. I mean, you're baking bread, right?
I've learned to make sourdough.
So I was going to ask you what something has brought you joy through this. Maybe it's your sourdough.
The sourdough has brought me joy, but mostly I feel real lucky, Kevin. I have four kids. Two of them are adults. Two of them are still teenagers. And I've been married for 20 years and I really like my family. And I think that has brought me joy, even in the midst of more tension than we've ever experienced. And I'll be honest about that. The cracks in relationships really do show. But we have had fun together. And I just really, really recognize there's a huge blessing in that. And I don't take it for granted. I know not everybody can say that. So that has really brought me joy.
So Sarah, through all of this, all the changes you've had to make, how have you seen God at work through this?
Oh man. Early on, we had communion on the front lawn of your associate pastor's house, who is my neighbor and close friend, Carly. And just a simple communion among, you know, three neighbors who are standing very far apart. And just the newness of that experience, you know, there was no hullabaloo. There was no, we weren't putting on anything for anyone. There's just this need and this desire to honor Christ, not because it was our responsibility as pastors, but because as humans, we knew we needed him that day. And I think I've really seen God at work in that. Is he is meeting people where they are. He is drawing us to him in new ways, learning how to Sabbath for the first time. I think he's opening some people's eyes to our global situation as far as creation goes, you know, as the earth gets a deep breath from our consumerism. I think he's also teaching us how to care for one another sacrificially. You know, I'm not staying home because I'm worried about my health. I'm staying home because I'm worried about the health of people who are more vulnerable than me. And that's sacrifice. And that's Christ. And so I love that this Easter came with walking out the principles of that Christ-like behavior.
Sarah, a lot of us are supporters of Young Life. And for those of you who are new to Young Life, I think this question is still relevant. I'm wondering, now that things have changed so much, how we can continue to support you and Young Life at this time?
Well, it's the same three ways I would tell you at any time, but now all three of them are just more desperate needs. And the first one is, please pray. Again, I think we can all be honest, we're tired and this is hard. So pray for endurance for our staff and our leaders. They are amazing people, but this is a marathon and we thought it might be a sprint. So pray, pray, pray. The second one is, if you're not busy and you have time, I'm not talking about you, Kevin, but anyone listening who wants to become a volunteer, man, we will always take volunteers. We would happy to hear from you. And then the third one is, we are completely run by donations. So all of our salaries and all of our program money is all fundraised. And you can imagine right now that's a tricky place to be. So we've just canceled a major fundraiser. We're working on another one, but obviously we just can't do things the same way anymore. So if anyone wants to support us financially, we'd love to hear from you as well. But I want to add, Kevin, we want to be able to give back. So we are actually sending out a newsletter every week that has our schedule. So teens can join if they want to. They don't have to be part of our clubs. If they're just bored and they just need some connection and their parents need a break, they're welcome to join. But in that email, we always put out something positive as well, a new place to find great learning materials, or, you know, some new streaming service that's come with great shows. Like, we just want to, or just good news. We just put some good news for parents at the bottom. So
Sarah, if one of our listeners is new to Young Life, do you have a link to that or directions for them to access that newsletter?
Yes, they would need to email me at S for Sarah. Marriott, Marriott, at younglife.ca.
Fantastic. Do you have any last words, Sarah?
Kevin, I really appreciate you. I love your church. You know I do. They are a second family to me. So if any of those guys are listening, I just want all of you to know I miss you terribly. And the first Sunday, I'm going back to mine, but the second Sunday, I'm coming to visit you guys, that we're all allowed to be together again.
We look forward to that day. Sarah, thank you so much for being a guest on our Perspectives podcast. It's been great having you. So, hey, thank you for listening. I hope you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. It's been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. Until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.